Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today's a really good day. You know why? Because I get to talk to one of my favorite people about one of my favorite topics. Addison Bevere joins us today to talk about his book, Words with God, Trading Boring, Empty Prayer for Real Connection. And I got to tell you, we talked with Addison when this book first came out, and we just wanted him back again because we love him. So digging back into this book for the show prep today just reminded me afresh of how beautiful and deep and lyrical this book is. He writes like a lyricist, and he's got really, really profound and deep thoughts around prayer. I'm so excited about this conversation. Listen to what he writes here. We live on holy ground, every bit of matter dancing for its creator. The question is, can we see our space as sacred? When we do, we realize prayer is much more than a transaction to be performed. It's a space we inhabit, ever available to those with eyes to see, ears to hear, mouths to ask, minds to know, and hearts to feel. The holiness of prayer requires our whole lives because it's everything. Oh my goodness, I love that. We're going to hear from Addison in just a moment. Quick announcement though, you know this, we're right in the Lenten season. And this season, we want to know why it's important to study, to pursue Jesus, to consider the disciplines practiced by Jesus himself. And you'll learn all of that as you join the Reading the Bible Together with Us. Our initiative this season is all about the Lenten journey. You can sign up for the free study, get instant access to the podcast. My producer, Angela Smith, also is the host of that podcast, which we now air on our Faith Radio lineup. All that information is on our website, myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Addison Bevere loves disassembling the boxes that fragment and frustrate our lives, a process he calls integrative faith. He's the author of Saints and co-author of the bestseller, The Holy Spirit, An Introduction, as well as the book we're talking about today. He serves as the COO of Messenger International, a discipleship organization that impacts millions of people in nearly every country. Father to four, husband to one, he spends most of his days in Tennessee. And I'll say, Addison, as you know, is the son of John and Lisa Bevere. John joined us a few days ago. Lisa joined us last week. And he is the COO of that ministry. And we love him. So Addison, so good to have you back. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Suzy. It's a Bevere takeover.
Come on.
That's a lot of Beveres.
That's a lot of Beveres. I love it.
I don't know.
Oh, it's awesome. We're so grateful. I hope we can do this again sometime. But it's like a 1-2-3 punch. So fantastic. Well, you know this. You've been on the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Such an honor. Anytime, our door is always open. But you know this. We love to ask the same question every day. And it's this. What's God been talking about these days?
You know, it's funny. You talk about Beveres. We were actually recording a show this morning. It was my mom, my wife, and I. And we were talking about the fear of God versus the fear of man. And I keep coming back to this theme of the fear of God. And I know you just had my dad on, and he's Mr. Fear of God. Anytime he talks about anything, somehow the theme of the fear of God is woven into what he shares. But I've been spending time in Isaiah, and even my men's group are going through it together right now. And there's this verse that keeps bringing me back to this encounter with the holiness of God. And it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And I'm just like, that's one of those verses you read and you're like, wow. And there's a temptation when we read something like that, I think, to put it on ourselves and our shoulders and be like, oh, I need to be firm in faith. This is about me. But really, this movement of scripture is actually about taking our attention off ourselves, off our own capacity, off our own lack, and putting our attention, placing our hope, placing our security on the power, on the assurance, on the authority, on the faithfulness of God. And when we live from that place of assurance, we can have this security in all things. And it goes back to that firmness. Like, if you're going to be firm in faith, is it a faith in your own ability and your own capacity, or is it a faith in God, in the nature of God, in his character and his faithfulness? And there's, of course, and as I know you talk about, Susie, there's a lot that we have to journey through when it comes to understanding the faithfulness of God. I think of Jeremiah 17, where he says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." It's one thing to trust in our idea of God. It's another thing to trust that whatever we encounter, that God's faithfulness and his goodness is with us, even when it doesn't look how we expected it to look, or God respond the way we expected him to respond in that moment.
So good. So beautiful. You know, it's interesting. Give me that verse one more time. I want to hear it. I think you said it was in Isaiah.
Isaiah 7, verse 9. And it's, "If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." And that's the ESV.
Wow. Powerful.
It's one of those, like, wow.
I need a minute with that one. That's so good. Well, you know, it's interesting how God often calls us to do something for him at the very moment we feel least qualified to do it. And if you don't mind, Addison, though you've told this story in the show before, it's been a while, bring us back to that place in your story where you were really walking through burnout and the Lord surprised you with an invitation to write on prayer. I mean, it seems like the least likely time where you felt disconnected, you felt dry, and this is when God invites you to write about prayer. Take us back to that place.
Yeah, I always get sideways looks from people when I share this story. They're like, "Wait, what?" I tell people, I said, "Hey, I hadn't experienced the tangible presence of God in years. I felt like for 5 years, I felt like God had abandoned me. I was struggling with insomnia. A good night of sleep for me was 4 or 5 hours. That was a good night. A typical night was a couple hours or no sleep. And it just felt like everything in my life was fogged. And I knew, I had this awareness, Susie, that I was missing out on so much of life, and that made life heavier. And so I felt this shame and this condemnation for not being as present as a husband and as a father. I had 3 kids at the time, as present as I wanted to be. And that was compounding my own journey, my own frustration with purpose and what that looked like in my life and how God was responding in my moments of need. And I learned something in this season, Susie. I learned that God has a way of not delivering us from a thing when he knows that that thing will ultimately deliver us to him. And I wanted deliverance because I wanted mastery. I wanted to be able to do things the way I wanted to do them. And so I went on this journey, and I had this incredible experience with God when the heavens opened up. I think I slept 12 or 13 hours one night. And I woke up with an invitation. Basically, I woke up saying, "I want you to write a book on prayer. Will you write it?" And I woke up saying yes. So, like, I woke up articulating the question that the Spirit of God had formed in my subconscious. And I articulated a yes immediately following the question. And Susie, I had no idea what was happening. It's like I said yes. I almost felt tricked into saying yes. And and I woke up and I came to my senses. I'm like, "Wait, I am grasping. Like, this is the last thing that I should be doing. I shouldn't be doing anything right now. I'm already in way over my head with life. This is me being a typical firstborn. This is me trying to strive and prove and do the things that I shouldn't be doing." And so I prayed at one of those Gideon fleece prayers. I was like, "All right, God, if this is really you, then this needs to happen today." And I gave him not an ultimatum, but I was just like, "All right, God, if this was you, then I need a sign today." And I don't know if you want me to go into that whole story, but I do share that story in the book.
I think you have to share it because it's such a foundation.
You think I have to now?
You gotta talk about Ivan.
Okay, I'll share. Which, wild. I actually had someone walk up to me in a coffee shop a few weeks ago and say, I know Nancy, Ivan's wife, and she, she's read the book. I've read the book. This has ministered to me so much. Anyway, so I'm walking home. I've taken some time of silence. I'm not speaking to anyone. I'm by myself. I'm at a friend's house, and I'm walking back to this house, and I hear, "Good
By the way,
morning."
you're out of state. You are staying in a different
I
state to
am
just get some downtime. So you're
different
not in your
state,
own neighborhood. Yeah, right.
not in my own neighborhood, not in my, it's not my usual place. I'm disoriented. I'm walking home, and I hear a distinguished voice say, "Good morning, young man." I was like, "Huh?" I kind of looked around. I didn't see anyone because he was sitting behind a tree. And I, for a moment, I'm like, "God, like that? God, was that you? Like, what is going on?" And I didn't say anything, and I just kept walking. And then I just walking back to the house, and I heard it again. This time, there's a bit more force because he thought I was ignoring him. And he's like, "Good morning, young man." And I turn and I see him, and I could tell I determined in my heart to be quiet and not say anything for a while, but I felt a release to go have a conversation with him, so I did. And he was asking me all these questions. I'm trying to furtively sneak away, and like even my body posture is saying like, "Hey, okay, it's nice to meet you, but I need to go now." And then he drops a bomb on me and tells me that he's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and has been given 4 months to live. And right in that moment, I was like, "Oh my gosh, God, did you bring me here to pray for this man? Like, is this that sign you asked me to write on prayer? Like, is this a miracle that is going to be a catalyst for what you've asked me to say yes to?" And I ended up asking him some questions, learned a bit about him. The conversation shifted. A couple hours later, now we're standing together. I'm laying hands on him. I'm praying for him. We're holding each other. We're crying. It's a beautiful moment. I go into the house. I call Julie, my wife. I'm like, "We're going to fast and pray for him over the next day." She's like, "Absolutely." The family's coming out to be with me after this time. And they came out, and kids and his
Oh,
grandkids were
please.
there, all together, all having time together, and all just beautiful moment. We all left that place really believing that he was going to be healed. Well, Susie, a few months later, he passed. And I've prayed for people, Susie. I know you've prayed for people and you've seen God do miracles. And I've prayed for people, and I haven't seen the resonance, the healing that I would expect to see with my own eyes. And I've learned to trust God's faithfulness and goodness, and to trust that that exceeds chronology. It exceeds my understanding of time. But this moment just felt cruel. Like this felt, it's just, it didn't feel right. And it brought me on, it did end up bringing me on a journey into the heart of prayer and how to have messy words with God in prayer. And it did become a catalyst for the book that God did ask me to write that morning, just not in the way I expected it to. And I do write more about that story in the book.
What I love about it's that's such a sad, heartbreaking story, but such an important one because we're so prone to formulas. We want A plus B to always equal C. And there are times where faith has been sort of projected that way. And it, to me, it's one of the, as someone who's suffered long and waited long for a miracle, that's a heartbreaking reality in the body of Christ because then you have people who suffer who get blamed for their suffering, because you must have missed a step then. So I so appreciated you beginning this journey with that part of the story. In fact, as we go to break, I just want to read this excerpt from your book. Addison writes, "Prayer, just as life, will always retain a form of mystery. And if anyone tells you otherwise, they're reducing God to their own image, losing sight of what prayer's purpose and design are all about. When we commune with the eternal, there will be mystery." When we come back, we're going to talk about just maybe you're somebody walking with God right now and you've never heard his voice, or it's been a while since you've heard his voice. What are you to do about that? And even some of the advice, Addison, you received as a young guy who was just passionate to follow Jesus, you said some of the advice was well intended but wasn't super helpful. Just how God led you on your own journey for prayer. Talking to Addison Bevere today, I forgot to mention, we got a handful of copies of this really beautiful book to give away. If you appreciate words, you're going to especially appreciate this book, Words with God, Trading Boring Empty Prayer for Real Connection. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you got a question about prayer, go ahead and send that as well. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. And one of the things I love about Faith Radio is that we put a high priority on the Word of God. The Word of God is living, active, and powerful. There's no other book that you can open up and hear the voice of God like the Word of God. We would love for you to join us this Lenten season. Prepare your heart for Easter and study the Scriptures with us as we walk with Jesus to the cross. You'll feel like you're right there watching it all happen. And then you'll be the first to celebrate Easter morning with a better understanding. You can sign up on our website to receive a free study guide. Subscribe to the daily Reading the Bible Together podcast to listen to the podcasts that accompany this Reading the Bible Together initiative. I hope you'll join us. You'll find all the information that you need on myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Addison Bevere is my guest today. We're talking about prayer. I would love for you to tell me, friend, as you text in, how would you describe your prayer life? No right or wrong answer. Just love to know. Is it mostly talking, mostly listening? Does it feel disjointed? Lots of stops and starts? Is it the most important thing in your life? No judgment. I always just like to take a poll to see where people are at. How would you describe your prayer life? Why don't you text me? 877-933-2484. All those answers will be anonymous, but I'll read some of those answers. And again, I've got a handful of copies of Addison's book to give away. It's rich, it's deep, there are no formulas, but there's an invitation to believe that God is who he says he is and to believe that he'll do what he says he'll do. Again, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Addison, I so appreciated the honesty in this book. And you talked about, and you're surrounded by mega leaders in the kingdom, and you have well-meaning people, I'm sure, when you're a younger believer, telling you, pray harder, have more passion. But you said some of the advice you received just wasn't super helpful. I mean, we're also fearfully and wonderfully made, wired, and you're wired in a way that's unique to you. So talk about maybe what wasn't helpful and what was.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Susie. I mean, people mean well. They do. And prayer is a very intimate part of the human experience. Even people who don't claim to be Christians or even don't claim to be spiritualists or religious, like they will pray when the conditions are right or the conditions are wrong. Like there's something inside of us that is even beyond our ability to define that grasps for God, because we were created for intimacy with God. So this is a very sensitive area for a lot of us. And even if you go back to the garden, you see the accuser from the very beginning going after Eve saying, did God really say that? Like, are you really in communion with God? Are you really hearing God correctly? Do you really have an intimate understanding of who God is? Do you really know this person who you're putting your faith and your trust in? Why not turn to the knowledge of good and evil? And so for us, that is one of the greatest desires that we have, is to hear and to know the voice of God. And a messenger, what we do, Susie, the number of questions that we get from people related to how do I hear God's voice, or why can't I hear God's voice? The number of questions we get on that subject outnumber any other subject. So if you're out there, I think what the enemy will try to do is try to convince you, oh, you're alone in this search. You're alone in this question. You're alone in this pursuit. Everyone else has this figured out. You're missing it because you just don't have what it takes. That's a lie. That's him trying to isolate you, confuse you. And so that being said, I want to share a few things that I think completely change the way we view how we hear the voice of God. First of all, and this is my heart's message right here. Like, this is it. We look at prayer through the wrong end of the telescope. And when you look at something through the wrong end of the telescope, what happens? You might be looking at the right thing, but that thing is small, it's distorted, it's confused, it's blurred. We look at prayer through the wrong end of the telescope when we make ourselves the hero of our prayers. Because when we make ourselves the hero of our prayers, we inevitably will also make ourselves the villain of our prayers, which means that our prayers rise and fall with our own strength, our own power, and our own ability. Whereas God's design for prayer is for God to be the hero of our prayer, of our prayer experience. We're called to just be participants. And the way that people train me, meaning well, but the way I was trained to pray when I was young, not so much so by my parents, but by others, was that, hey, Addison, if you would be a better hero of your prayer life, maybe God would speak to you. And I think that disconnect for people causes a lot of frustration as they're developing what it is to be a person of prayer. And when it comes to hearing the voice of God, and this is something that I write about in chapter one of Words with God, is I think a lot of people struggle to hear the voice of God and the way God speaks is because they're looking for the voice of God in the sound and the tenor and the voice of the accuser. And so they expect God to sound like that voice of accusation. They expect God to communicate to them in a way that, frankly, they know, like, this is no way. Like, this is not a good way to communicate with people, whether it's a spouse or a child or a friend. And yet, because the accuser is so good at what he does, he tries to convince us that it is actually through accusation that God speaks and God communes with us. And so for one of the,
I gotta just, if I could just, I'm gonna jump in. I feel like what you said is so extremely important that I want to ask friends listening, does that piece resonate with you? When you step back, if you're honest, do you feel like you're expecting God to speak the way the enemy speaks, with an eye roll, with a heavy sigh, or with even bold condemnation and berating? Do you kind of subconsciously, without thinking about it, like, does that linger unchallenged in your mindset? If God's going to speak, that's how he's going to speak. Will you just text me a simple yes if that resonates with you? Text me 877-933-2484. I think you hit on something really big here, because on one hand, if that is true, even if it's subconscious, you're going to brace for impact. You're going to dread when he does speak. And when the enemy speaks, you're going to think you've heard from God, and you're going to be that much more shriveled, you know, and weakened. So maybe unpack that a bit more and how a person can really change their heart and mind on what God's voice really sounds like.
I mean, that's it. The way you describe that, Susie, and it's a filter, and for us, and it distorts how we receive from God, how we receive correction. So correction comes across as condemnation instead of, hey, I have this vision for you and I see these things in you, and I'm calling you forward from a place of hope and promise because I can see things about you that you can't see in yourself. And so when it comes to how God speaks to us, I do think that, and if you study the story of many of the greats in the faith, and I know, Susie, I know this is a part of your journey. God will lead us into silence and through silence so that we unlearn the voice of the accuser and we start to hear with a different part of ourselves. We start to hear the way God communicates to us, how complete it is, how it's not transactional, it's not isolated. It is complete. It is perfect. It is more in tune with who we are and who we were created to be than we ever thought possible. And it involves every sense of who we are. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want this to devolve into some weird mystical experience. But what I'm getting at here is like when we read the story of Scripture, we see this component of communion with God through the Spirit. Jesus modeled this. Jesus promised that we would know his voice. He promised us that it's better for us that he goes away so that the helper, the integrator, the intercessor could come, and those things that are arm's length, those things that are hard for us to grasp, those things that we can't really understand intellectually or formulaically, those things will become a part of ourselves because we're going to receive a nature that is transformational. It's not just something that we're trying to climb a ladder of our own goodness and elevate ourselves to this point where God will speak to us. God is descending. He's stooping to raise us to this place where we can hear him, to know him. And it's this flip, if you will, from grasping for God to being grasped by God. One puts us again in that role of hero. The other puts us in the role of surrender. We're saying, God, this is incredible. This is amazing. How can this be? But because you say it is so, I will quiet my heart. Teach me how to quiet my heart. Teach me how to know and believe that what you speak over me is what is ultimately true about me. And for me, like I mentioned earlier, God has a way of not delivering us from a thing if he knows that the thing will ultimately deliver us to him. Susie, that is our greatest cry. It's not like we get so caught up in purpose and all these things. And don't get me wrong, those are important, but they're important in the sense that they lead us to an understanding of how God wants to be intimately involved with our lives and take us places that we otherwise couldn't go, and lead us into an experience and lead us into an understanding of people, of ourselves, of God that we otherwise couldn't grasp on our own. Like, that is the experience that we were created to know and enjoy. And purpose is a mechanism that God uses for us to experience that intimacy and that closeness. That's why, like, Moses was like, hey, I don't want the promised land. I don't want the goodness of what that is without the promiser. I don't want all of this without intimacy with you. And God, when we get to that point, God's like, hey, I can whisper things to you. I can reveal things to you that will energize purpose and unlock things in you that otherwise you would have tried to make possible in your own strength, your own power, and your own ingenuity. I can unleash things and unlock things in you because you're in this heart posture of surrender. And the purpose that I will outwork in your life will astound you, and you will know that it is a miracle, and all the glory and the honor belongs to him and not to us.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. I want to read some of these texts that have come in. That is so good. I could have listened to that all day, Addison. So good. This dear listener says, never heard it articulated like that. Absolutely, that was my experience in the past, thinking God's voice would be accusatory. Somehow I've come to recognize his real voice. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to get to know him through his word, his nature, his characteristics, and that definitely helps us to better know his beautiful voice. And I've got a couple more here. Many times I imagine God responding to me the way my earthly father responded to me, and he had a judgmental tone. A number of people have said that. Oh boy, so many texts coming in. I got to read this excerpt from your book. We've got a few minutes before our break here. Through patience, steadfastness, and faith, some of us realize that the voice is not just something out there. It belongs to the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We've got it all backward. We're not yelling across the canyon in the dark. Our voice is an echo of the voice. It would seem that having words with God is about joining the conversation, not starting it. The voice is speaking. Can you hear it? You know, I get a little weepy sometimes. This makes me want to cry. I mean, it just moves me to the deepest place of my soul. Because again, how often as you're listening today, do you feel like you're trying to get a conversation with God? You're trying to get a number, stand in line, get him to notice, get him to look your way, get him to speak to you as if he's indifferent or distracted. But he, it seems, Addison says, that having words with God is about joining the conversation, not starting it. Speak to the person listening today who maybe needs to hear afresh what God might be speaking over them even right now. And in the context of the verse, a mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So if there's no life on it, no peace in it, you can pretty much know who it's from. But I would just love for you, just as the Lord leads you, to speak to that person who's maybe doubting who they are and who God is.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. And In Romans chapter 14, the kingdom of God, the way of the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's righteousness, you belong, it's familial, you're in right standing. And from that place, we can live in peace, knowing that God, he has done the hard work of reconciling us to him. There's nowhere in scripture that says that we reconcile God to us. God reconciles us to him. God is the one stooping. I love what Jesus said in John 12, where he said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. He is the one doing the work. And there is a peace that only comes from surrendering that sense of godness that we try to find and achieve in our own strength, where we can manufacture peace and have all of the answers and define truth and create truth and all of that. And then from that place, we live with a joy that is buoyant, that carries us through the trials of life. And it's not this ignorant, I'm turning a blind eye to the pain. It's staring the reality of pain, of suffering, of disappointment in the face. And it's saying, do your worst. I know that come the other side, like there will be an end date. And I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 5. It says, God himself on that day, after you have suffered for a little while, there's an end date. God himself will establish you, validate you, restore you, confirm you. And so that's what I would say. And one final thing, because I know we need to go to break. I want to challenge y'all to repent. I want to challenge y'all to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for making prayer all about me getting the words right, me praying for long enough, me being good enough, and say, God, I want prayer to be a work of grace in my life. Give me the grace to pray in a way that is the work that you, the good work that you are doing in and through me.
Amen. We're going to pause. When we come back, we'll talk more about what it means to have words with God, to be talking with God, to listen for his voice. And I love so much what Addison said, as you think about, as you surrender your life, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, your spiritual act of worship, where you just say, Lord, I know so well that you're good. I'm giving you all of who I am. And as you surrender your life and you'll allow him to speak in a way that he speaks because of who he is, you'll be amazed at what in you gets healed, what lies get uprooted and new truths planted. He loves you. And as I often say, when it comes to your life, he's indifferent about nothing. He loves you so much. Talking to Addison Bevere, his book, Words with God, Trading Boring Empty Prayer for Real Connection. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Suzy Larson Live. I want you to think about this. Let's say there's some rock star or some high-level politician that you admire and you want a meeting with. Chances are great, you probably won't, unless you know someone who knows someone. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, he literally obliterated the devil's claim on you. If you've trusted him as your savior, you have 24/7 access to the one who spoke and the stars came to life. You have inner access to the inner throne room of Almighty God. And you don't need to know someone or get in line or take a number. And you're not going to find a God who's just irritated and annoyed by you. He's glad to see you. We're talking about prayer today. And as Addison Bevere said earlier in the show, too often what hinders our prayers is our expectation that when God speaks, he's going to sound like the accuser. The enemy wastes no time. A friend said, it takes no faith to hear the enemy's voice because he's constantly loud, persistent, grumpy, you know, gripey, berating, and he fights dirty. It takes no faith to hear that voice, but that still small voice consistent with God's character, that does take some faith and an understanding of who God is. This dear one, Addison, says that prayer feels like I'm talking to a brick wall for the past several years. And before I have you answer, I just want to just remind friends, it's Addison Bevere's my guest. His book is Words with God, trading boring, empty prayer for real connection. What do you say to this dear listener who says, feels like I've been talking to a brick wall for the past several years?
Yeah. That pain, that frustration.
Yeah.
It gets to the point where it just feels like it's unbearable. I remember I was in a season, and my wife, she wanted to bring a few couples over to the house to talk about God and what God was doing in our lives. And it was in the midst of a season where it'd probably been about 2.5 years at this point, where I felt like every time I prayed, it was brick wall. Every time I cried out to God, it was brick wall. I mean, Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was a go-to for me. And in this season, I didn't want to talk about it because it was so painful for me. And that's why even now, like, I start getting a bit choked up. And my wife, she's an incredible woman of God. And she's like, we're going to push through this. We're going to have conversation with some friends. I'm like, there's no way. I'm not talking to people about this. And so she created this environment and everyone's sharing and people are crying and talking about how good God is and how faithful God is and how God's speaking to them. And I'm just sitting there with a stoic look. And then finally, everyone shares and it's at our house. And Julie's like, you need to share. And I'm like, I'm not sharing. And it's really awkward because people there know what's going on. And then finally, I was like, fine, I'll share. And I said, I be honest with y'all, I hear what you're saying. And these are really sweet words. I said, but I haven't experienced the tangible presence of God in years. I feel like God has abandoned me. I feel like I've done the things that I know to do to be faithful to God. And I feel like God has lost faith in me. And
you're
Susie,
doing this while you're COO of Messenger International. You're a godly man. You don't have a duplicit life. You're functioning at a very high level of leadership, loving your wife, loving your kids. But it was your interior world that was just shriveling. Yes.
Shriveling. Just to be clear, friends. I mean, yes. Yes. And just like I did not have any secret sin. There was nothing in my life where it was like I really felt like I was checking all of the boxes and it just seemed like God had checked out of my life. That's really what it felt like. And in Psalm 22:1, that the prayer that Jesus quotes on the cross from David, my God, why have you forsaken me? God took me on a journey into the mystery of that psalm. That psalm is associated more with the pain of the cross than any other psalm in scripture. I would encourage this listener to take a look at the psalm. That's where it begins in Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? But in verse 24, the psalmist, and I'm paraphrasing this, but says, you do not abandon the afflicted in their affliction, nor do you turn your face from them. And so this is all one movement. So when Jesus would have quoted this on the cross, he's not just quoting a single verse. He's quoting and he's calling to mind, if you will, the entire psalm and what that song represented to him and what it would represent to the people who knew that specific psalm. And if you look at the Hebrew word azav, which is what abandoned or forsaken, it's azav in Hebrew. It's a very curious word. It means to break down, to scatter, to abandon, but it also means to build back together. It also means to gather. It also means to restore. It means both of those. And you actually see both sides of that journey, both sides of that story in Psalm 22. And so this is what I would say to you. I promise you, it's like a dam, and with enough pressure, it's just a little bit, boom, all of a sudden it breaks, and then it's open heavens, and it's like, oh my goodness, what feels like right now, what feels like you're not doing work going forward, you're doing work going down into caverns of who you are as a person, into recesses of your soul that you are learning to surrender, that you are learning to face off with. And when that dam breaks, and it will be an act of grace when it breaks, you will be filled with a life, with a satisfaction, with a fulfillment that is more than anything that you could have understood. I will tell you, when it comes to God and God's goodness, like, how can we even know how good God is until life has given us reason to question his goodness or his faithfulness? And so my prayer for you is that in these moments where it seems like God has abandoned you, that what is actually happening is that this broken pieces are being reassembled for what is new and necessary. And this will become a monument, a pillar of praise and confidence and faith as you emerge through this.
How can we know how good God is unless life deals us some circumstances that make us wonder if God is good? Gwen writes, and she says, I think a lot of people are going through that brick wall feeling because of spiritual warfare. Satan seems to be having a heyday. People feeling abandoned, alone. Many times that's Satan targeting people who are God's greatest warriors in the places of their lives where they have intimate, deep conversations with God. I think you're right, Gwen. I mean, we are in a day. The enemy knows his time is short. If you would, maybe I need to take a break here. On the other side, I want you to talk a little bit about just what you've learned about warfare, praying. I mean, our intimate times with God. I mean, I feel like what I love about prayer is just my time with God is the most important in my life. But there are times when the strategy is rest. That's the highest form of warfare, is to tuck under his wing and rest. But there's other times he's like, armor up, march on, baby, and don't back down. And there's other times where I'm contending in community for people, for our kids or whatever. I would just love to know what you've learned about warfare, because I think what Gwen is saying is exactly right. This is a day. There's a heightened sense of opposition right now. How do we stand? How do we keep our joy and our peace? How do we hold fast to the truth that God is good? He is good. Talking to Addison Bevere, his book, again, he writes like he speaks, just poetically and very deep. This is a wonderful book. There's not one bit of fluff in this book, which is my favorite, to not have fluff. So, Words with God, trading boring, empty prayer for real connection. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, he's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Addison Bevere. He used to join us once a month, and then he got very busy with some filming that he does with Messenger International. So we're going to take him whenever we can get him. His book, Words with God, is just powerful. That's what we're talking about today. Prayer, trading boring, empty prayer for real God connection. And one of the listeners texted in and talked about in the last few years, their prayer life has felt like talking to a brick wall. So Gwen texted in and said, you know, I think a lot of people are going through that brick wall feeling because of spiritual warfare. Satan's having a heyday. People feeling abandoned, alone. Many times it's Satan targeting people who are God's greatest warriors in the place of their lives where they normally have deep, intimate conversations with God. I think that's so insightful. And I'd love, Addison, for you to speak to just your thoughts on warfare, what you've learned about how that aspect of your prayer life has impacted you.
I love what she called out. And I think it's so important for us to remember that there are many dimensions to prayer. And we reduce prayer to a formula or transaction, and unfortunately, we miss out on the fact that prayer is supposed to be a way of life. Like our lives are supposed to be completely energized by prayer. Even when we look at something like 1 Thessalonians 5:17 or Romans 12:12, where we pray without ceasing, we hear that we're like, oh my gosh, how in the world am I going to pray without ceasing? Like that's That is, like, I have a hard time praying 15 minutes a day. How am I going to pray without ceasing? Well, if we understand what Paul's saying there, it's actually an invitation into constant rest. Pray without ceasing is actually a command to pray from a place of rest and assurance, and that will deliver us from the frantic inaction and the confusion and the lack of clarity that comes when we're just trying to grasp and make everything happen in our own strength. Hello, we live in a world that is where most of us are slaves to the busy, to the frantic. And so it's a call to be in this place of rest and connection and sensitivity and awareness. So even that, it's very different. But I want to go back to spiritual warfare because that's massive. And that is a big part of what prayer is all about. Well, when we look at spiritual warfare, there's so many, even within that, there's so many dimensions, but it always comes back to this idea of relying on the authority of God, because the Satan, the accuser, is a legalist. I just want everyone to understand that. The enemy of your soul is a legalist. He will look for any jurisdiction that he can legally occupy. That is why it's so important that we, when we pray, we are submitted to the lordship of Jesus and the work of the Spirit in and through our prayers. That's so important. But one of the most powerful forms of spiritual warfare, and we see this played out in the Psalms, is thanksgiving. And that's why, even if you look at the Psalms, which represent the entirety of the human experience, you have these low moments of my God, why have you forsaken me? To these high moments of you are my refuge, you are my rock. I hide within the shadow of your wings. What can man do against me if you are for me? I mean, you see the whole experience represented within the Psalms. Well, they end, the final five Psalms begin and end with a flourish of praise, of what I call defiant praise. And I think within the Christian world, and I know, Susie, this irks you. There's this message that sometimes is sent out like, hey, y'all just need to deny your pain. You need to deny your pain, deny your pain. No. That's not the right thing. We actually need to articulate our pain the best we can so we can surrender it to God. But here's the key.
Amen.
We don't deny the pain, but we do defy the pain. And there's a
That's right. Big
big
difference.
difference between the two of those. And if you look at Psalm 89, verse 15, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but it goes something along the lines of, blessed are those who know the teruah, is what it is in Hebrew. It's feast or shout, I think, in English, but it's blessed are those who know the teruah, for they walk in the light of your face or the light of your presence. Well, this teruah word, Susie, you're going to love this. This teruah word is fascinating. It actually means the low bass baritone note of the shofar. And it is a broken note. When it's played, it kind of comes out hesitant and tentative, and it's searching for its sound. And it's kind of pitchy, and it's not quite there, and it's weak. But then it rises in defiance, and it becomes a shout of war and a proclamation of victory. That's what the teruah does. So it goes low and it's weak, and it's emblematic for the human experience and our brokenness and our weakness, and we go down, but we know that by God's grace we rise. And it's actually in Hebrew culture, it's actually associated with Sarah and Sarah's journey and the pain of Sarah's journey. So the idea is, blessed are those who know the deep, broken notes of the teruah, for they will rise in defiance. They will rise with a victorious sound, and they are the ones who walk in the light of God's face. They know who God is. They have
Come on.
faced the dragon. They have faced death. They have faced the sting, and they know God is good, God is faithful, God is just, and they have this defiant shout that comes out of their mouth. So, back to spiritual warfare. Again, there's so many dimensions to this, but the big idea is we are fighting from a place of strength that is not our own. So whether we are being still and trusting that God is fighting for us, and that is the warfare, or we are speaking and prophesying and declaring and moving and pacing and shaking and doing whatever the Spirit is unleashing in us in that moment, whatever we're doing from a place of rest and from a place of surrender to what God is asking us to do in that moment. And if we're mature in prayer, we can start to discern the subtleties of what the Spirit is asking us to do and how he's leading us in a moment. And we can engage prayerfully in that moment and attack the force, the spirit that's behind it. And you know this, Susie, we live in a world where people want the clarity of attacking people. But we know Ephesians 6 says we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against dark cosmic powers, principalities that elevate themselves above the lordship and the truth of Jesus. And the only way that we can have the clarity to fight those powers is by resting in the authority and the lordship. Again, the devil, the Satan, is a legalist. So we have to fight from a place of surrender to God's lordship. Otherwise, he will try to move in and steal territory. I love what C.S. Lewis said. There's no such thing as neutral space in this world. Like, there's no such thing. The enemy is trying to claim space, and God has claimed the space. And we get to participate through spiritual warfare to establish God's will, God's word, God's promises on earth as it is in heaven.
With that, we're done. Addison, thank you for an amazing hour. Friends, thank you for tuning in. I pray you found some encouragement here. We will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.